Blog Talk Radio.
Radio show, January 6th, 2013. I'm your host, Joe Detzel. I'm going to be joined by my usual co-host and compatriots in crime from the Penn Nation, Nick, Ken, Ashley, Andy, all on the line with me tonight. Well, Ken's not here yet, but he will be.
Maybe.
We hope.
He may have died.
he was up real early, as we all were.
Yeah, and if you haven't been, you know, if you've been living under a rock for the last 24 hours, the lockout is officially over, thankfully. We actually have some good news to go by. For once, the whole thing, the speculation, the hockey revenue, the Donald Fairs, the Gary Bettman stuff, it's all over. We have a CBA, we have an official date, we have an official amount of games being played, we are ready to go. In case you haven't been playing along, the season will start on January 19th. We will have a 48-game season. It will be all interconference to play. You won't have any East-West matchups, anything like that. For those of you who are hoping for Penguins-Blackhawks, something like that, it's not going to happen. We're going to break everything down tonight. We're going to talk about our thoughts about the new CBA, all that sort of thing. But first, where were you at? Was it 5:15, 5:10 last night when the lockout ended?
Well, I was sleeping, just like most sane people, I guess, except for Ken Will, and I get a text from Ken and then Depto.
Yeah, I was up.
And I think all it said was boom, and
yep,
I knew exactly what it meant.
Yeah, you know.
And then I couldn't go back to sleep. It's been a very long day, but it's been an exciting one. It's been one that's long overdue that like fans all around the league have been waiting for. You can be bitter all you want, I guess, but, I mean, it's not going to change the fact that hockey's back and it's going to move on with or without you. So get ready, buckle up.
Yeah, I was sleeping as well, and then I was supposed to work at 8, so I got up around 6:30, and I saw that I had 30 text messages, and I knew that something was up because I remember, you know, I'd heard that they were getting close, you know, yesterday. So, and obviously I saw the boom and wake up Andy texts, all that stuff. It was funny. It was like Christmas morning though. Again, I mean, you know, I know a lot of people were just hoping for that a Christmas gift like that to get hockey back, and it's great that it's back. It's unfortunate that it took this long, but I'll take some hockey over no hockey in a heartbeat, and at least we won't have to deal with this for a little while, 8 years minimum. We'll see if they opt out or not, but it's just nice to have the game back and get all the fans back onto the ice, and especially all the arena workers back to work, and, you know, just all the workers and interns too. A lot of the, you know, the people that could only intern for these hockey teams in the fall, they really got screwed over because now, you know, they weren't able to really do anything for the pro team. So, but it's just good to have everything back to normal, and hopefully everyone can benefit from it, and I'm sure they will.
So Joe, that begs the question, what were you doing up all hours of the night, and have you slept at all yet?
I have not, and I was sitting, I've been awake since let's see, early Friday morning, actually. We're pushing quite a, you know, a lot of coffee has been ingested here in the Detroit residence lately. I'm just sitting here, you know, in my caffeine-induced delirious state, just hitting refresh and texting and emailing people, you know, trying to see if someone has seen something online, some kind of report that I haven't seen, or something. It was the first night that I'd actually done that. I know people that have been doing that on a regular basis for the last couple of weeks. I have not been doing that. But last night, I finally get in, and you see all these just laughable reports, Boomer Esiason and stuff like that. And then you get on here and you start seeing media saying, you know, we might have a deal done. We might have some progress. There might be something to announce tonight. And, of course, my first reaction to that is I click on their avatar to find out if they're actually a fake account or not. Like, it's on the trade deadline, you know, and you have to, like, screen all the fake Dan Dreger accounts and everything, which is just brutal. But
that's one thing I don't miss.
Yeah.
In a way. I mean, there are very few fake accounts that are great. And but around these big news times, everyone seems to be doing that, and it's awful.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very knee-jerk reaction type thing. But, you know, it was it was great to see. And once it happened, there was definitely – it was definitely a bunch of excitement. You know, I think we all sort of felt that way. I think it was all a really exciting thing. And there was a lot of skepticism, and there were a lot of reports that there, you know, there was a report from Winnipeg earlier in the week that it could be canceled altogether. And so the fact that it's done, it's over with, and we can all laugh about it. Some details of the new CBA that, you know, people will probably want to discuss. Everybody's been talking about the hockey-related revenue, the HRR. That will drop from 57 to a 50-50 split for all 10 years of the agreement. It is a 10-year agreement. After 8 years, that can be an opt-out situation. So if you're worried about this ever happening again, it's going to be at the very minimum 8 years before you have to deal with it again. The upper limit on the salary cap, which was another big discussion, in the first year is $60 million, but teams can spend up to $70.2 million, which is all going to be prorated, of course. The cap floor is $44 million. So some details about that. Each team will be allowed 2 amnesty buyouts that can be used to terminate contracts after this season and next season. The buyouts will count against the player's overall share in revenues, but will not count against the team's salary cap. The salary variance on contracts from year to year cannot vary more than 35%, and the final year cannot vary more than 50% of the highest year. A player contract time for free agents will be 7 years and 8 years for teams signing its own player. The draft lottery will process. That changes a little bit. All 14 teams that will not make the playoffs this year will be in it, and it will be fully eligible and equal for it. So
That's a lot going on. It's a lot to wrap your head around. And joining us right now to help us kind of wrap our heads around that collectively is someone who's probably way induced on caffeine right now, and that's the Tribs' Josh Yoey. Josh, how are you?
Oh, guys, right about now I wish I had like a coffee habit or a cocaine habit or something, because I'm just I'm actually driving right now, and I probably shouldn't be. But it's cool. I'm glad you guys are having me on now, because, you know, I'm 20 minutes from home, and, you know, I like the company. I like the hockey talk. And it certainly has been a glorious day. I didn't go to bed until 3 in the morning last night trying to stay up to see, you know, what was going on. And finally I dozed off, and I woke up at about 5:45 or 5:30 to hear that, you know, the press conference was about to begin. And I had to wake up Rossi, and, like, you know, we were both, well, not that we sleep together. That sounds weird. I actually had to call him to wake him up. Don't take this the wrong way, guys. We're close. We're not that close. But
I'm sure Rob, that you clarify that as well.
Right, man.
Okay,
it's been
sleeping with Rob Rossi.
I know. I've already used like 5 fireable offenses I've said already in this conversation. That's okay, though.
Sorry.
No, it's been a long day, but it's been the day hockey fans have been waiting for. So. I certainly will not complain.
So what was your initial reaction? I'm sure you felt like, man, if I would have just waited it out just another 2 hours, and I could have been like right on the front of that. Like,
yeah,
how did you find out about that initially?
Well, you know what? I mean, Saturday was a good day, and everybody knew that, you know, there was enough being leaked, that progress was being made. But I still wasn't really expecting a deal that quickly. I suspected they would still go another day or two. So I was, you know, pleasantly surprised. Wasn't really shocked, because you knew they were going in the right direction. And given how hard they were negotiating, guys, the last few days, I mean, they weren't going through that to not make a deal. So you knew that was possible. But, I'm not going to lie to you. I have a 6-month-old baby. He's got a little bit of a cough. and he was coughing a little bit last night, and it woke me up like at 5:30. That's why I was up. And then I, you know, checked on Twitter and heard from a couple of people in the know that said you might want to, you know, check out what's going on in a few minutes here, and here we are.
And so what's the rumored date, I guess, for training camp to start here in Pittsburgh?
Well, nothing has been confirmed. I mean, there's a lot of speculation out there. I still would not be surprised if we go with a 48-game schedule, and that would entail training camp starting on Saturday, and the regular season would start the following Saturday, which is January 19th. And we are pretty sure the Penguins would open the season in Philadelphia on a Saturday afternoon, if that were the case, which I believe would be an NBC game. That's not official, but we've been told if it is a 48-game schedule, that's likely where they would start the season, and then they would probably have the home opener back in Pittsburgh the next day on the Sunday. But there's so many reports out there. And there's, you know, people tweeting left and right, no, it's going to be 50 games, it's going to be 48. I've talked with a lot of players today. I've talked with a lot of people in the Penguins organization that they just don't know. I mean, if this vote can get ratified within the next 24 to 36 hours, they probably could do a 50-game schedule, but it's really just a matter of how quickly all the T's are crossed and I's are dotted, if you will. If it drags on for a few more days, then we're definitely going to start on the 19th, and it'll be a 48-game schedule.
Yeah, it would really do them well to kind of get that done a little quicker. I mean, after all the revenue that they've already lost for fighting for so long to get the most that they can get, I mean, an extra two games of pay would be a pretty good thing.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And honestly, what hockey fans have been through, I don't think they deserve one more day of non-hockey than is necessary. So, you know, if it's a 50-game schedule, the season will start on January 15th, which I believe is next Tuesday. And, yeah, why not give us, you know, hockey 3 days earlier? I'm certainly all for it. Whether or not it will work out the way, I don't know. Actually, the funniest thing today was Sidney Crosby, who, if you know anything about him, he's just a creature of habit, very anal about certain things. I spoke with him fairly early this morning, and he asked me when the preseason games were going to be. And I said, Sid, I said, man, don't take this the wrong way, Sid. I don't know the arrangement, but I'm pretty sure there's not going to be any preseason games. He said, are you serious? And I said, yeah, why do you care? And then he said he really likes to have a preseason game or two just for, you know, his timing and everything. And a lot of guys I don't think take preseason games real seriously, but apparently he does. So I think he was kind of bummed about it. And he said something about having to keep his game simple the first couple of games or something. He might be a little bit off, which kind of made me laugh because I've been watching. I know you guys have been watching him, too, at South Point the last few months. There's nothing wrong with his game. He's ready to go.
Yeah, now... could you clarify, I know you tweeted about this earlier, are they going to have an informal workout tomorrow at South Point, same time?
Yeah, for anyone who wants to come out to South Point tomorrow, I believe it's actually starting at 10 o'clock, and it is open to the public, as always. It always is at South Point. I would guess they'll go 10 to 11:30. Crosby will definitely be there, Brooks Orpik, Dupuy, Cook, about half the team, I would guess. I think tomorrow is probably a travel day for a lot of guys who are out of town. I saw Matt Niskanen is in Minnesota for a few days. I talked with him earlier today. He's packing up his truck today, and I think he'll be back in town Monday or Tuesday. A lot of guys are in that boat. Gino's flying in from Russia. I believe Monday he leaves tomorrow, so he'll be in town soon. But travel day tomorrow, but, yeah, a lot of Penguins will be there, and I expect a little bit of enthusiasm at South Point.
Let's hope so.
So with such a short training camp, Josh, obviously, guys are kind of all over the board right now. Some guys in-game, game-ready, playing overseas. Chris Letang, supposed to be one of those. Who knows what's going on with that right now? He's probably in Iran somewhere. Who knows? But you could probably expect some sloppy play to start out, can't you? Just because some guys are already in that zone. They already got their timing down. And then you got guys kind of just putzing around out there on the ice, just doing informal practices, not doing anything really game speed related, and so you could probably expect a little bit of sloppiness initially, couldn't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, this is a very abbreviated training camp. There's no preseason games. Yeah, there's probably going to be some ugly hockey here in the first couple of weeks. Not necessarily from the Penguins, but just in general. But and yeah, I would have to think the guys who have been playing have an advantage. And I would bring up Evgeny Malkin, who's absolutely tearing up the KHL right now. I mean, he is putting up absurd numbers the last three or 4 weeks. He didn't really have that great of a start. And so he's got multiple points in 11 straight games. He's out of his mind right now. So I would not be shocked if Gino starts fast. And, you know, it'll be interesting, really. I don't know what to expect. I don't think anybody does. This is a pretty unusual circumstance. But I think the Penguins are in pretty good shape because, you know, it's the same coaching staff, same relative system, very little turnover, you know. Takes Stahl out, put Sutter in, a couple of guys here and there, but it's essentially the same team. And I think that's probably to the Penguins' advantage in the early going.
Mm-hmm. Now the Pens ended a regular season last year against the Philadelphia Flyers. They played a six-game series against that same team, and now it's rumored that they're going to start with them again. And we get to play them seven times this year. We're going to get really sick of these guys, aren't we?
Well, I mean, who isn't already, right? I mean, that's kind of the role the Flyers play. That's what we've been told, that the season does begin on Saturday the 19th. The NHL wants to have as many rivalry games as possible. Like, I would bet my life Toronto will play Ottawa because that's just what the NHL does. Yeah. It seems like they always start the season. I wouldn't really bet my life, but, I would think that's quite likely. And, it looks like Penguins, Flyers. You'll see a lot of traditional rivalries on that day. And you know what? For all that I know, Penguins fans were disappointed that, the Penguins lost to the Flyers in the first round. You can't deny that it's always a compelling theater when those teams get together. So if indeed that is how we kick off the season, that could be a lot of fun, quite honestly. And by the way, I wanted to bring up something. The NHL, if it is a 48-game schedule, there have been a lot of different reports out there. You know, we were told about a week ago that there would be seven divisional games each. In other words, the Penguins would play the Rangers seven times, the Flyers seven times. The league is looking into that because, frankly, some teams were not at all happy about it. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Atlantic Division teams were some of them. Kind of a competitive disadvantage. If you're the Penguins, for instance, you got to play the Flyers seven times and the Rangers seven times and the Devils seven times. Whereas, you know, the Capitals get to play, you know, a bunch of mediocre teams the majority of their schedule. Yeah, right. And there is some talk that there are changes being made now. Now it would be more like four or five divisional games. So I can't confirm that. But it's clear to me the schedule is still kind of a fluid thing right now. And we're going to have to wait probably. It might come out tomorrow. It would not shock me if it came out tomorrow. I'd expect tomorrow or Tuesday. So don't know what to expect. But all I know is there's going to be a lot of games and not many days.
Yeah. Now, again, I was just about to ask you about that. The Penguins obviously traded for Thomas Vokoun, then signed him. How smart of a move does that look now that you're going to have three to four maybe games a week where you're going to probably need Thomas Vokoun to, you know, provide a good chunk of games in goal for the Penguins? It looks like a pretty smart move now, doesn't it?
Yeah, I thought it was a good move at the time, even aside from all of the other factors. I just think the guy's a good goalie. I think he's one of those guys who's been a good goalie on a bad team most of his career. And so maybe he doesn't get quite the recognition he deserves. But, yeah, I mean, listen, we're going to see a lot of four games in a week coming up. That's a lot of hockey. And the Penguins, you know, I've had a number of people in the organization tell me that, you know, they're convinced that Fleury did indeed wear down last year and they don't want him playing that often. If I'm not mistaken, since 1997, I want to say, I think only two goalies have played more than 70 games in a season and won the Stanley Cup. It just doesn't happen anymore. And John Quinn played a lot of games last year. He's kind of an exception. But they want Fleury rested. And listen, even though Fleury remains very much their number one goaltender, that's not disputable. They weren't real thrilled with his performance in the playoffs last season. And I think that a lot of people in the organization believe that Fleury is the kind of guy who needs a little push sometimes, who needs to feel a little threatened. We saw him play some fantastic hockey that year Ty Conklin filled in for him, and it was just unbelievable. And then Fleury came back, and maybe the best season of his career in 2008, that spring, he was just fabulous. And I think the Penguins feel like he gets a little comfortable sometimes, and Vokoun is the kind of guy that will get his attention. I had a scout tell me this year that he still thinks Vokoun's one of the 15 most talented goalies in the league, so the guy can still play.
Josh, it's kind of a out of left field question, but I guess it does involve something you were talking about a little bit ago involving Evgeny Malkin. I know he's been putting up the great numbers and everything like that, but do you have any concerns about his body holding up over a long period of time? Because he's obviously playing hard in KHL. He comes right back to the U.S., and he's playing this rigorous schedule where he's playing against top-flight teams like Washington, Boston, New York, you know, 3-4 days a week all the way until summertime. Do you have any concerns about maybe something in his body breaking down or any kind of conditioning issues or anything like that?
Yeah, I really do. And, you know, I'm a big Malkin fan, and I don't blame him for going to play in the KHL. That was certainly his right. But the fact of the matter is he's already played 36 games this year, I believe. And now he's going to play, say, 50 in a very, you know, compressed period of time. So that's 86 games there, and that's a rough 86 games. And don't forget he played a ton of games in the World Championships back in May also, so he'd already had some more mileage on him than the rest of the team did, or April, May, whatever it was. And, you know, yeah, and he's a guy who we had, I think maybe he did wear it down a little bit in the playoffs last year. I don't think he looked as fresh as he did in January. You'll recall Sid and Stahl were both out for long stretches, and Gino was playing huge minutes, maybe too many minutes. So, yeah, it's a concern. Maybe it's not a huge concern. You won't notice it right away. But come May and June, do I maybe worry a little bit that Malkin might run out of gas? Yeah, I do. And I actually brought that up with Crosby after practice the other day, and he just smiled and said, well, I'm pretty fresh. So that's a way of saying, you know, maybe I can pick up the slack a little bit if Gino's, you know, feeling tired. But, yeah, it's certainly something to keep your eye on. But I can assure you the Penguins are very grateful that Malkin got through those 36 games unscathed. There was a lot of concern in the organization about one of their guys in Europe getting hurt, and they got really lucky in that regard. Not every team can say that.
Sticking with Evgeny Malkin, is it? I look at the top line and I look at the second line, and obviously he, you know, was matched up with James Neal last year. The results spoke for themselves. They were fantastic together throughout pretty much the bulk of the regular season. On the top line, you know, I sort of estimate that Kunitz and Dupuis will probably play with Sidney Crosby, you know, through a lot of the season. Bowser's done that before. It's worked well. They all seem to like it. But on that second line, without Steve Sullivan there now, who is the second line left wing? Who is filling into that sixth spot in the top six?
Well, that's a great question, and I can tell you that I strongly believe Crosby, Dupuis, and Kunitz will start the season on the same line. So, yeah, that leaves Malkin and Neal. Obviously, those two will not be separated. There's a lot of candidates. There, you know, I could see Matt Cook there. I could see Tyler Kennedy there. Maybe Eric Tangrady. I'm going to throw a name out at you that is unlikely, but is not totally impossible. And his name is Bo Bennett. And the reason I bring up his name is this. You know, Wilkes-Barre decided to rest three players tonight, assuming that they'll be sending them to Pittsburgh for training camp. Albeit a very abbreviated one. And one's Eric Tangrady. That's no shock. He's going to make the team, I would certainly think. And another one is Robert Bortuzzo, which is a little bit of a surprise. And the third guy was Bo Bennett. And that tells me Bo Bennett's coming to Pittsburgh for a week-long look in training camp. I think it's unlikely that he makes the team, but the fact that they're bringing him at all makes you wonder. And that tells you that they've seen something in him, and they maybe are thinking about giving him a chance. You wouldn't pull him out of a season in the AHL for a week if you had no intention of him making the team. Obviously, they've at least considered it. And he's a top two-line guy. He's not a grinder. He's not a third- or fourth-line style player. He's the guy that would play with Malkin or Crosby. So I think it's very interesting, and you know, we'll see how he looks. I saw him play in Wilkes-Barre a few weeks ago. Great hands. I mean, he's got million-dollar hands. He's going to be a very good NHL player. I don't know if he's ready yet, but obviously the Penguins are intrigued. And one other thing I wanted to mention, guys, which I found really surprising, Simone Dupre was not given the rest tonight in Wilkes-Barre, and it sounds like he might stay there and not come to training camp. And that is pretty stunning to me. I thought he was pretty close to a lock to make this team. And he had a really good start to the season in Wilkes-Barre. He's been bad the last couple of weeks, and looks to me like the old organization is not too happy with him. So I certainly expected him to make the team, but looks like he might not even come to training camp, which would be pretty stunning to me.
Well, that's I'm glad you brought that up, because that kind of follows in what I wanted to talk about with you next, and that's on the blue line. Obviously, we know Orpik, Letang, Martin, Niskanen, Lovejoy, England expected to be there. But you have Brian Strait, who still has to clear waivers, if I'm correct. I think Bortuzzo is in a very similar situation. Is the team content with England Lovejoy as the 6-7? And if not, what are they going to do about it? Because they obviously can't just bury those guys down in Wilkes-Barre. I'm sure one of them, if not both of them, would be claimed.
Well, you know, it's funny. When all this labor stuff was sorted out today, I actually had about 10 minutes to sit down and look at the roster. And I'm no different than anyone else. I like to play with line combinations and figure things out. And I looked at the Penguins roster, and, you know, it occurs to you that their blue line's really not that great right now. I mean, Letang is a great player, yes. And Orpik, I think, might bounce back a little bit and have a pretty good year. But after that, you know, Paul Martin's been a disaster. Let's be honest. He's just been a total disaster. And I would suggest checking out Rob Rossi's article in the Trib tomorrow, where Ray Shiro pretty much admits that Paul Martin's been a disaster. And I do believe the term he used was embarrassed by how Martin has played. Or he said Martin himself was embarrassed. So it's pretty strong working from Ray Shiro. So, okay, if Martin's your number three, and if Niskanen's your number four, Niskanen's a great number five. That's what he was most of last year. Is he really a top four guy? Maybe. I'm not sold on that yet. We need to see it. So you're not looking real strong there. And Engelin's okay. Lovejoy's okay. Well, they're not going to hurt you, but there's nothing special there. So I worry about their blue line, and in particular the top four. I really think for them to be the team they can be and to make a Stanley Cup run, they need to make some kind of a deal, because I just don't like their top four at all right now.
I'm going to kind of rally on this Paul Martin thing here just for a second. Just with the disappointment that it appears to be kind of perceived right now with the organization kind of down on Martin a little bit, and with the option to be able to buy out a contract, there's got to be a little added incentive for Martin to do really well, because if not, it's a kind of like make or break time for him here in Pittsburgh. If this is a bust season for this guy, likely there's a good chance that either he's shipped out to a team like Columbus or someone that needs to be up on the floor, or he's cut altogether, consequence free basically from the pen. So there's got to be some kind of incentive there, right?
Yeah, and I do believe they will buy him out if he has another subpar season. I'd be stunned if they didn't. Even if he has a decent year, they might, quite honestly. I don't think they can trade him now with the new clause at the CBA, because teams are just going to sit around and wait for him to be bought out. I spoke with him back in June, and he had some pretty interesting things to say. He told me that, you know, he was embarrassed by his performance, and that he never would have imagined that he would be this lost after 2 years with the Penguins. That I was kind of struck by that. Like, wow, you don't hear, you know, pro athletes come out and admit that they're lost very often. But he has
like
never been into this. Yeah, exactly.
Walk in the woods.
That's right. And he's never fit into the system. He's never really looked comfortable here. He's provided absolutely nothing offensively. It's a real problem. And I do think he's motivated. He's a good guy. He really is. He takes a lot of crap from fans, and I understand why. But he's a really good guy, and he has a lot of pride in his work, and he wants to have a good season. But nothing we've seen in the last 2 years indicates that he will, and he is certainly somebody to keep an eye on when this camp opens. There's no doubt about that.
Well, we are a minute away from the end of the live portion of the show. You can feel free to join us on the podcast version by going to thepensnation.com and clicking on the iTunes link. You can download that for free in your iTunes every morning right after the show is basically done, about an hour after. It shows up in your iTunes feed, and you can listen to all the mischief and mayhem that kind of goes on after hours here on the Pens Nation radio show. But anything else? I mean, what's your takeaway here, Josh, on the CBA? I know overall it's great because hockey's back, but do you think it's a fair deal for both sides, or do you think one side kind of is the overwhelming winner of this?
Well, you know, the league caved a little more than I thought it would, but and the pension plan the players got was unbelievable. They're going to get $250,000 a year for life starting at age 55, which is astounding to me. But was all of this worth missing almost 4 months of the season? No, it wasn't. And I don't think people should forget, you know, what Gary Bettman and Don Fehr and some of their partners in crime did. I mean, it was an embarrassing thing for the league, and it's going to take a while to recover from. But you know what? I don't even want to talk about those guys anymore. Hockey's here. It's the good news. I think the Penguins and the Rangers are the two best teams in the East, and it's going to be a fun season, albeit a quick one.
Yeah,
who do you have out West, actually?
What's that?
Who are your two best teams out West?
Oh, boy. Well, I mean, you got to say the Kings after what they did. I mean, I think the Kings are great. Now, I really like that St. Louis team. I know they don't have a lot of stars, but I thought they were pretty legit last year. I don't think they're going away. And I just don't buy the Canucks at all. But I think the Penguins and Rangers in the East. Well, go ahead.
My issue with the Blues is the coaching. And I know Ken Hitchcock did a great job there last year, but he kind of came in after the season started as a shot in the arm type deal. And I just wonder, after watching him coach here in Columbus, if that style of coaching can sustain itself over, you know, a long absence of play and then a whole new season and everything like that. I just wonder if he can sustain his coaching style with so many young players like Perron and Oshie.
Yeah, that's a fair question. I only mention them because I don't know, I get to go to games, so I try to take things away from being there in person. And they were, to me, just the best team I saw all season in person. They just blew me away. It's actually a game the Penguins won in St. Louis in a shootout, I think. But they were just so good. So a lot of good young players there. But, no, it's a valid question. Ken Hitchcock, you know, he wears on people, quite honestly. Yeah, he does. And he's a very demanding guy. I would ask the same question of John Tortorella in New York. Now, the Rangers added a guy, Nash, who isn't exactly a darling to work with for a coaching staff, I don't think. And if you look at the Rangers on paper, they might be the best team in the league. Maybe they don't have Crosby or Malkin, but boy, they are loaded. I mean, there's just not a whole lot of weakness on that team. But the more star power you get working with Torts, you know, is Rick Nash going to be blocking five shots a game like Torts wants him to? I don't know. I think there will be some issues there. I think they're very good, but I don't know if it's a perfect marriage. So yeah, I would say the same thing for Hitchcock I would Torts. It's one of the many subplots of the season, that's for sure. And speaking of coaches, by the way, this season, I can't wait to see Mike Therrien roll into Pittsburgh with the Canadiens.
Yeah.
What a night that will be.
Oh, my. Wow. I completely forgot, actually, about
that. Yeah, I forgot about that, too.
Yeah, there's so much going on, you forget that. Oh, man, Mike Therrien might be in town next week. How great is that? Look, like smoking
nice
cigarettes outside the building before the game. And, oh, yeah.
Would I lose my credentials if I were interviewing him and his defense played terribly, you know, like P.K. Subban had a bad game, and I asked him if the defense was soft?
I certainly think he might not respond in a favorable way to the question because he's probably astute enough to know where you're going. But if you'd like to do it, I would certainly pay you a small sum to see it happen. I'd rather not do it myself, but I'd like to see it. I mean, why not? My God, the man's a YouTube legend because of it. And he knows it. I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I watch that video to this day, like, far too often, like, way more than I should. I mean, I probably watch it once a week. I can't help it.
It's legendary.
It's funny, you know.
Yeah. You mentioned P.K. Subban. He's still unsigned, in a way.
Yeah.
Still an RFA there, and they haven't re-upped him yet. There's a couple guys like that right now that's RFAs that would be intriguing to kind of throw an offer sheet. Probably wouldn't happen.
Put him on Sid's wing or something. Oh.
Absolutely. He would be fantastic.
I think he's a restricted
some
store,
intriguing
right?
options. There's some
he's restricted.
Yeah. There's
Dallas
restricted
doesn't have any money either. So.
Yeah, I looked. Dallas's top two paid players are Alex Goligoski and Jaromir Jagr.
Oh, my.
I think Gogo makes for Jamie Benn. Gogo makes a little more than Jagr. There's just something wrong about that.
It's weird.
I don't feel comfortable with that. Nothing against Gogo. Good for him. It looks a little strange when you look at their payroll.
And that's weird.
Well, you look at the unrestricted free agents, and everyone is up there in age, like 30, 31 and above, and most of them are at the end of their careers. You got a few guys out there that maybe willing to take a look at, like a Mark Eaton or someone like that, that you know has kind of played well in your system. It's got some familiarity here. But outside of signing someone like that, do you see the Pens doing anything like that?
Well, here's the thing. I'm not sold on the Penguin the blue line. I don't think it's terrible. I love Letang. He's quite an anchor.
Yeah.
But there's some question marks there for me. I don't know that Engelund can play that well again like he did last year. Lovejoy's okay. He needs to be more consistent, though. Apparently, Dupre's not ready. That certainly is the vibe I'm getting from a lot of people on the team. And then Niskanen's another guy. Can he have that kind of a year again? He was so good last year. You're asking a lot, I think, for him to have that kind of a season once again. So, yeah, there's question marks there. And the problem for the Penguins is that you have all these young guys in the system. You guys know the names, the Joe Morrows and the Pouliots and the Olimatas and Scott Harringtons. All these kids that the Penguins think are going to be really good NHL defensemen. You know, does the time come where you pull the trigger on a trade and you trade one of these guys and you go get a top four stud who's ready to play right now? I'm not suggesting that will happen. But, Ray, you know, if I have a criticism of Ray Shiro, and I think he's very good. I'm not criticizing him, but he, you know, sometimes I'd like to see him get a little more aggressive. He's so patient with these young defensemen. And that's great. That's fine. But I wonder if the time isn't near where you say, hey, we've got Crosby and Malkin in their primes right now. Maybe we give up a little bit of the future and just go for it. Go get a Jerome Ginlar. Go get a top four defenseman, something along those lines. So something to keep your eye on. And by the way, speaking of trades, they haven't officially said when the trade deadline will be, but apparently the league is pushing for an April 5th trade deadline,
yeah,
which is really late. So that will make things interesting if that's the case. Playoffs will probably start April 20th, I would guess, something in that range. So, yeah, listen, that would be a really
late
trade deadline.
It's like a whole month.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, usually it's at the end of February or beginning of March. So, yeah, that would certainly make things interesting if that indeed is the case.
Yeah, not a whole lot of turnaround time to get acquainted with new faces on your team and stuff like that. So I don't really understand why they would push for that to be so late, but get all the hype you can,
I mean,
I guess, early on.
I mean, they had to move
it.
Yeah, they had to move it back, which I understand. But I thought it would be kind of fun if they had left it the same. Like, every team thinks it's the contender in February. So who knows what would happen? I mean, it'll be interesting to see. You know, will there be more buyers this year or sellers this year? Because, you know, okay, you've played 30 games. Do you really know how great of a team you have through 30 games? Sometimes, yeah, but not always. So it's just such of an unprecedented season. And I'll certainly have to study the 95 shortened season a little bit more to see how they did things back then. But that's been a while ago. I don't really remember the specific details at the moment. But, you know, you can probably get something from looking back to history to see how they did things. But, I don't know.
Talk to Billy Guerin.
Yeah, Billy Guerin indeed won the Stanley Cup that season. I'm going to have to give EJ a call tomorrow. EJ was the Penguins coach in the strike-shortened year, if I'm not mistaken. And the Penguins, by the way, started off really hot that year. I think they went like 11-0 and won their first 12 games and won the first seven, I believe. So yeah, they had a really good start that first year before the Quebec Nordiques, led by a young center named Joe Sakic, finally caught them and won the division that year. But, yes, we can probably learn some things from that season, and I'll be interested to see if we do. It's going to be fast and furious, I promise you that.
When you were talking about trade deadlines and all that sort of thing, what's your take on all of the Gonchar discussions that people are having on Twitter?
There is some legitimacy to it. Now, does that mean they're going to bring in Gonchar next week? I don't think so. But I have been told by, you know, some people I trust that the Penguins would consider Gonchar, and the biggest thing is the power play. Chris Letang's a great player. They don't really view him as a quarterback on the power play. And so if you look at the Penguins' power play right now, you've got Crosby, Malkin, and Neal up front, and you've got Letang on a point. Well, who plays the other point? I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. That's a good question. It might be to the point where Malkin has to play a point position just because he can. And you put, you know, Crosby on the half wall with, you know, Neal and Kunitz down low, which wouldn't be a terrible thing, but I don't think it's ideal either. So they've got some issues there with, you know, Steve Sullivan gone. And I cannot emphasize enough how important Steve Sullivan was to their power play last season.
Mm-hmm.
Talk with coaches, other players. They will tell you he did things every game that maybe you didn't notice that just made the power play go. And, you know, with him not there anymore, I don't know who takes over that role. I really don't. They don't really have a guy who can work that side of the ice right now, as far as I'm concerned, the left side of the ice. That's where I'll throw the name Bo Bennett out there, because I've seen him work the power play on the left wing boards, and he certainly knows what he's doing. That's why I think he becomes a really interesting person all of a sudden. I don't, like I said, I still don't think he makes a team. I'd be surprised. But why in the world would they be inviting him to a, you know, a 5-day training camp if they didn't at least want to take a serious look at him? And he's been by far Wilkes-Barre's best forward. I mean, he plays a different style than anyone else on that team. He just is a more talented, more capable guy than anyone else they have. So
yeah, he's got a lot of creativity.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
great hands.
It just feels like Gonchar is the last thing that defense needs right now. I just feel
I agree with you. I mean, listen, Gonchar still runs the power play beautifully. Great guy. I love him. But, you know, we saw it in his final season here in 2010. You talk about a defensive liability, I can still see him in Game 7 against Montreal just, you know, just embarrassing himself with some of the defensive plays we saw. And frankly, I thought he was bad most of that year. And I don't think he's been that great in Ottawa. I think his point totals and his numbers in general get inflated a little bit because he's on the ice with Carlson an awful lot. But, I agree with you. I think the Penguins do need a top four defenseman, maybe somebody who can help on the power play, but I certainly don't know that Gonchar is that guy. And, and that's why when I heard these rumors, I kind of disregarded it, just laughed it off. And I talked with some people in the organization, like, ooh, maybe there is a little bit of validity here, and I think there is.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that it will happen, but, you know, we'll see. And it wouldn't happen until the deadline, I don't believe.
Well, I'll say here's what we do, Josh, is Joe and I will train Andy to take over a fourth line or a fourth top four for the Pens. You train Rossi, and then we'll have them square off at training camp.
Jeez.
Well, I mean, I would like to see that. No,
yeah,
I
would love to see that talent on display.
We need to go over the ground rules some more, but I think something could be arranged. I think that'd be fun for everyone. Yeah, why not? I like it. Make training camp fun. I hate training camp, so I'm actually the only person. I'm thrilled with the 5-day training camp. It's like it'll be five miserable days, but better than 3 weeks. Hockey training camps aren't fun to watch.
On.
Yeah, it's just, you know.
There's only so much
you
can kind of talk about in that, you know.
Right. I mean,
yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's, you know, I wish we knew when training camp started. If I had to guess, I'm kind of leaning toward it being a 48-game season, I think, is what might happen. If that's the case, can't put it open until Saturday. But please don't quote me on that because I've heard 20 different things tonight. And the fact is nobody knows, and it's all really based on how quickly things get ratified with the players. And nothing in this process has gone quickly, so I'm of the opinion that it will still take a couple of more days. And they're going to say, fine, don't come to camp until Saturday. But you know what? I talked with three Penguins today. Specifically, I asked the question, when do you think camp will start? And every single one of them said Wednesday or Thursday. So, you know, that might well still be the case.
Well, there's still a little bit of patience to be had by fans across the globe here. But it's getting done, and it's going to be here before you know it. So just hang tight, and we'll be all watching some good hockey here shortly. Josh, thanks so much for joining us tonight. I really appreciate it. And hopefully you didn't say too many incriminating things.
Well, yeah, let's hope my bosses didn't hear anything I said during the past half hour. But, yeah, always a pleasure. And, boy, was it nice to talk about hockey and not Don Fehr and Gary Bettman. I'm telling you. Thank God.
Yeah.
Hockey is here last.
Cool. We'll see hopefully tomorrow. And we'll
probably tomorrow.
All right, gentlemen. Sounds good.
Catch up with you then. See you, Josh.
Thanks, Josh.
See ya.
All right. That was Josh Yelly from the Tribune Review. Excellent stuff.
Oh, yeah.
As always from Mr. Josh Yelly. Probably our favorite regular guest on the show. So excellent stuff with that. Stay tuned to thepensnation.com for everything. We do appreciate if you listen to this. You obviously took the time to download it and go out of your way to hear it. So we really do appreciate that. Stay tuned to thepensnation.com. We're going to be bringing season preview articles, training camp discussions, basically everything you could possibly want, all the comprehensive coverage you're going to need for the Pittsburgh Penguins 2013 shortened season. I'm Joe Detzo for my co-host Andy Hughes.